This is kind of a Sunday that, interesting Sunday that your pastor is sick and I was called to preach a message. Some messages, you know, have lingered behind the mind for a long time. And sometimes this kind of message can be unconventional and can be, in a sense, dangerous. So, this is the kind of occasion. But I'll try to tune down for the message and hope that if it's somewhere cuts into your heart and you want to talk to me afterwards, you're welcome. And so today we will start with a startling title. Working? Okay, so the title is actually quite provocative, the right to rebel, right? The right to rebel. The passage I'm going to use today is quite like a common or in a sense banal. You know the word banal? I guess you know. It's just a very conventional, a lot of people use this passage. It's about the parable of the lost son, or it's also named known as the parable of the prodigal son. And from the chapter Luke, verse 1 to 32, actually, verse 11 to 32. So I don't know whether it is necessary to read through all the message verse by verse, this passage, the chapter verse by verse, but we'll just maybe try to read so as to refresh our memory to see maybe some of the details I will mention later on in the parable and will help for you to understand the message better. So from Luke chapter 15 verse 11, Jesus continued. So there were two other parables. The parable of lost sheep. Lost sheep is about 1 out of 100. And the parable of lost coins, silver coins, is about 1 out of 10. Now, here is two sons. There was a man with two sons. So one out of two. And getting more and more precious. So Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. So there are lots of information behind all these simple verses. But it's loaded, very loaded passage if you read it out of the context of the Eastern culture. Now, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. What kind of wild living? The Bible didn't give a very detailed description, but you can use your imagination and fill in. After he had spent everything, wow, that's quite a wealth, you know, a big treasure, and he just squandered his wealth in his wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country. That country is not is a pagan country. It's not an Israelite. It's not a Jewish country. Who sent him to the fields to feed pigs, because Jews do not raise pigs. So he's totally out of his country and far away from his family. He is as wild as he can be. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pots that the pig were eating, and no one gave him anything. So he is miserable. It's not listening to me. It's quite good. Okay. Can you go back a little? Okay. Hello? Okay. I think it's fine. It's maybe a little better. But it's fine. So, Christina, I just ask you to flip to the next page, okay? Try again. Oh, it works. Okay. Then he came to his senses. So this is a crucial passage. Remember this. He came to his senses. There are deep down there somewhere in your heart, in your being, there are some senses sometimes you will come back to and will change, flip your life. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father, which means he rehearsed all his speech and get well prepared before meeting his father. That was quite unconventional. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. The father was filled with compassion for him. That is something you need to keep in mind too, because it is about the ultimate version of your worldview. The father or the God or the ultimate reality in this universe, whether this ultimate reality cares or not, actually affects the whole of your cosmology or of your worldview or your attitude to your life. That is very important. So he has compassion. He has compassion, right? Filled with compassion. So the world as the universe is actually not that cold. Father is filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, so the father didn't actually even talk back to him, or even reply to his request. He just said directly to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So the joyfulness of getting a lost son back, retrieve a lost son back, so it's vividly pictured here. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. So this passage, maybe after, sometimes if you are familiar with the parable of the prodigal son and you saw the portion after verse 25 is like redundant, which actually is not. Which actually, this is the main character of this parable. Later on, we will see. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, came home, you killed the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So if you read this passage carefully, you will find it was loaded with all the details. It's very nuanced. So today, actually, I'm talking. I will give a message which is a little unconventional, and it is about your right to rebel. This is actually even though I will deliver the message with a caveat. Caveat means something you need to take into your heart before you unfold it fully. So, maybe I will maybe put it strongly that I'll encourage you to, in a sense, rebel while you still have the privilege of doing so. Or you are still entitled with the rights to rebel. To rebel, you must rebel against something, against somebody. And in this story, in this parable, you will see that this younger son rebelled against a father. And the father's love is stretched so far, and even though he rebelled very far away or walked very far away from the home and from the father, yet the father's love is enough for him to rebel. So this is actually a story that can be read through many angles, and along the way of your life, and you come back and again to this message, to this passage, and you will find a lot of different meanings. So, so let's start with a very conventional or classic interpretation of this passage. This is actually a very famous passage. A lot of commentators did a lot of exegetical work on this parable. So one of the most exegetical work has been done was done by someone named Augustine. Anyone know Augustine? A very famous, like a 4th century North Africa theologian, and some of us believe that he actually was black. So Augustine used a language called Latin. So he expressed there are 4 stages of human life or humanity according to his analysis of this story. He told us that according to Augustine, each one of us or the whole humanity actually will go through or bound to go through with 4 stages of human life. 4 stages. Okay, so these 4 stages are actually, can anybody help me to read out? This is just Latin. Somebody, you know, take a Latin 101 from high school and you can read it. Anyone took Latin in school? Anyone here? Oh, okay, someone. Can you read for me? Well, okay, Jonathan. Okay, well, if you didn't, I'll teach you some Latin word and you can show off in front of your classmates, maybe. Okay, this is posse non picar et posse picar. Posse means possible, picar means sin. So, posse non picar, possible not to sin, et means end. Possible, posse picar. So, possible not to sin and possible to sin. So, in other words, Augustine is telling us that the first stage of humanity is this stage like in the Garden of Eden, which means Adam and Eve, they can sin, and they can, you know, without sin. So it's possible for them to sin, and it's possible for them not to sin. Can you imagine that? They are free in the sense they are innocent in the Garden of Eden. They can sin and they can refrain from sin. They have the freedom of choice. So it's like the golden childhood age. But well, according to Calvinism, this is not the case. But still, you can see, sin has not yet entered into this world. It's posse non picar et posse picar. So this is the first stage of your life. You still have the freedom not to sin. After chapter 3 of Genesis, when Adam and Eve decided to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, human beings started into enter into another stage of humanity, which is called non-posse non-picar. I think you can. You have enough Latin to decipher this this phrase. What is that? Exactly, not possible not to sin. So, sin is actually no longer an option. So, humanity has fallen into sin. So, not possible not to sin. So, this is actually described the entire human race after the fall. So, that is why Paul in the Romans chapter 7 and 8, he cries, how can I break away from sin? We were bound to sin. So, non posse non peccat. And the third stage is, can someone help me? Posse non peccat, possible not to sin. Which means, after you know Jesus Christ, after you were saved, you were set free from the bondage of sin. Which means you have the freedom not to sin, even though you were habitually, in the situation of sin. So it's very difficult for you to break away from sin, yet you are free from sin, the power of sin. So it's possible for you not to sin. So it's posse non peccat. So you, if you are a Christian, then you are at the stage of posse non peccat. And the fourth stage is non posse peccat. Which means if you enter in the future, we enter into the glory. We will be with the Lord, and we understand this is so good to be here, to be with the Lord, and we with all the memories of miseries that we had in the world, down on the earth, and so to the point that we will not possible. Sin is not a possibility anymore. So these are the four stages of humanity. What has it to do with the parable of the prodigal son? So, according to Augustine, the stage when the youngest son was still with his father, so he has the right to obey or not to obey. Posse non peccat et posse peccat. And afterwards, he actually went out into the pagan land and squandered all the wealth, so entered into the stage of non-posse non peccat. And then he came back with all the memories. So it's just the return to the home, the father's home. And he actually came to a stage of posse non peccat, and eventually we will all reach the stage of non-posse peccat. So this is actually the human story, like the story of yourself in the golden age, the childhood, and then you start to rebel at the teenage years, and you consider your father and mother is just a know-nothing, and you are much better than them. And then eventually at the age of like 30 or something, you came to your senses and you come back and reconcile and repent or come to the Lord. And so this is the fourth stage of humanity. This is the very conventional interpretation of this passage. But you can put it into your framework of your life, and sometimes this framework can be very, very powerful for your life, to remind you what stage you are in, and all the principles, corresponding principles that are operating your life. Okay, so this is actually it's like a Nike, the sign, right? It's like a posse non peccat, posse et posse peccat at this stage, and here is non posse non peccat, and at this point you came to the Lord, and posse non peccat. And eternity is non-posse peccat. So this is very simple. So now actually, and then we come to some more interpretation of the story. So about the younger son, about prodigality. The son just went away, and he actually asked his father for his portion of the wealth, which is very implied for in the Eastern culture. Just a equivalent to telling the father that I am tired of you and I wish that you would die, you were dead. So the father actually very saddened, with a broken heart, he divided his wealth of the treasure and gave one third to the younger son. The Jewish convention actually gives like two thirds to the older son. So the younger son is very rebellious and he's unwise, and he get into acquainted with wrong friends. A habit of very wasteful and squandered all his resources. So, and he fell into a condition with disgrace, with disease, with shame, with remorsefulness, with sin, with deep sense of unworthiness. He just spent his time with the pigs. In Jewish culture, pigs are filthy and completely without value, and it's just as low as you can be. Pigs. Sometimes it's just like that. When you can sink to the bottom, and just like you're staying with the pigs, and your lifestyle is, even though maybe you can be very rich, you can have a very wealthy lifestyle, but sometimes spiritually you can feel that probably you are in just like with the pigs. So this is actually the status of the younger son. But then the Bible says he came back and he came to his senses. So this point is like the no returning point. If the son, younger son, didn't come back at this point, probably he will never come back. He will harden his heart, a stiff necked, the Pharaoh in Egypt that actually determined to be enemy of God till the very end. So it's just like this passage tells us that repent as there is still a possibility. Soften your heart no matter how miserable your condition is. So he returned and he came back. But it's just that he probably didn't realize that he is still very rich, even though he was in a miserable condition. He actually still was in his father's love. He actually didn't walk far enough to out of the father's love. So how do you know the father still loves him? How do you know the father still loves him? Seems that the father is waiting. The father is waiting every day at the gate. So each and every interpreter of this passage somehow knows that the father represents God, represents the ultimate reality of this universe. So this universe, the ultimate of this universe, is not actually cold and careless. The father actually is full of love. He's full of love. He's waiting every day at the gate. The father's love is so unique that it is also combined with something called freedom. The father didn't act as a dictator, chained his son in a room without giving him freedom. So the father's love, God's love, is actually very unique. God loves, God empowers you with the freedom. freedom to rebel. Even your rights, even your right to rebel, actually is the component of the Father's love. You cannot rebel in a totalitarian government. They will kill you. You have no right to rebel. How about you rebel against the North Korean like dictator? They have lots of ways to kill you. But the thing is that you can rebel to your father, to your mother. You can show your attitude. You can retort. You can talk back. You can be grumpy. And they can do nothing. Other than being suffered, this is actually the pattern of the universe, pattern of the divine love, that you are entitled to rebel. It is because human beings, we are all fallen humanity. We are all fallen human beings. There are two ways of being rebellious. The first way is like the younger son. The younger son going as far as, wandered as far as he can go. And the second pattern of being rebellious is just like the older son. Staying at home, being very obedient, yet still very alienated, estranged from the Father's love. Which one is better? I'll give you an assignment. Which one is better? The younger son or the older son? From my perspective, I believe the younger son is better. Because he tested the love of the father, and he realized, he understood the depth, the breadth of the father's love. And eventually he came back on his own will. Reconciliation, repentance, coming back with freedom, freely came back to the father's house. While at the same time, the older son is just didn't know that he was rebellious, didn't know that he actually was an alien or a slave. He called himself a slave in the house. So this actually is the pattern of humanity wandered away from loving Father, God, the ultimate of the universe. This is the version of the ultimate that waiting there day and night for you to come back. Willingly, even though you may rehearse a speech before meeting your father, yet that is useless, needless, because the father actually ran to you. You know, in Eastern culture, people with dignity, they do not run. It is the younger ones that run to the older ones. So this is the image of God. Can you believe that? This actually is the image of God running to you, not sitting there waiting to judge you, running to you. So this is the image of God. This is the image of God. So inevitably, you will all rebel. We will all rebel. But remember that God the Father is always waiting for you to come back. That is why the first word uttered from our Lord Jesus is to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent. Come to your senses. repent. You always have the opportunity to repent and to come back. So what is wrong with the older son? What is wrong with the older son? What do you think? Is this kind of behavior or response normal? Is this normal? Suppose if you have a younger brother or younger sister and he did a lot of things ashamed your family and he or she came back, what will be your response? Tell me. You probably will respond to similar to this older son, older brother, right? This son of yours. Not even mention my brother. Now he's not a brother anymore. This son of yours. It's all the loaded language. So he was angry. He was not happy at all. He was not happy at all. So what is wrong with this older brother? Brothers and sisters, like, supposed to be like this. Supposed to be like this, right? But the brotherhoodness or the love, the brotherly love of, we call it Philadelphia, the brotherly love has gone completely. What happened? What's wrong with this old brother? And that exactly was the story of the reason why Jesus told this story. Jesus told this story because the Pharisees, because all these religious leaders, they observed that the sinners were very happy, were well received by Jesus, or by the Lord. And they were envy. They were being envy. And they were not happy. They were pouty. They figured out that there probably is something wrong with Jesus. So that is the reason why Jesus told this story. So this story was addressed to them, to the older brother. In the sense that we all like older brother, when the sinners come back, we are not happy. We do not know the Father's heart. And we behave like the old brother. But do you know, there is another layer of this story. Who is the true old brother? By what standard the old brother, this old brother, was evaluated? Or by what standard the Pharisees and all those self-righteous people, you know, in that house was evaluated? Actually, it was in the Bible. You can numerous of the passages telling us that Jesus actually is our old brother. Jesus is actually our old brother. Romans, Colossians, Hebrews, and Revelation. Actually, Jesus is our old brother. This old brother behaved so strikingly different from the old brother in this story. This brother, the old brother in the story, complained that the father celebrated the return of the younger brother, younger son, by killing a fattened calf, right? Fattened calf. He's not happy at all. He cares more about the calf, about his property. Much more than caring about his young brother. But do you know that the heavenly version of the old brother, what did he do? He risked his life. He sacrificed his life. He dedicated his life to the altar. Not only just passively waited at home, waiting for the younger brother to come home. He ventured into the world in the form of something called incarnation. Came into this fallen world. He behaved, or he acted according to the presence of the Father. He suffered. He's humiliated, ashamed, tortured, killed for the purpose of retrieving humanity, you and me, the younger brother, back to the Father's house. So this actually is the backdrop of this story. It is actually a gospel message. Jesus telling them what he will do. What is the normal behavior of the older brother? So you are rich. We are rich. Because not only we have a loving Father, empowers us and gives us the freedom. We have the right to rebel. But also we have an older brother. He loved us too. Dead, ventured into this world to retrieve us sinners back to God the Father. So this, I hope the message will inscribe, or the parable will inscribe on your heart. Whenever you want to rebel, it is okay. But only that you keep in your mind, or deep down in your heart, you know that you are rich with a Father waiting for you lovingly all the time, and an older brother who sacrificed himself for you to be the ransom and atonement that you can come home anytime. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this rich message. Each and every time we read it, there's new dimensions being opened up to us. But your word is so precious, and we pray that your spirit will teach everybody here, and so that we will all know you. Sometimes we know you, but we probably not. The depths of your love we are yet to fathom, but we love you and thank you, and we pray.